Second Chronicles chapter 16. I just want to share with you one verse of scripture that hopefully will be some encouragement to us. We'll look at the setting very quickly. I came across this many years ago, and I was looking at King Asa, and tremendous heritage. His father, and he became king of Judah. And lo and behold, he begins to do that which is right. If you look here, if you go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 14, and we see verse 2, and Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord. And for he took away the altars of strange gods and the high places. We find and we read through the Old Testament, probably the last place to go were the high places. And he even removed those and cut down the trees in verse 4 and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers. Notice verse 5, he took away out of all the cities of Judah. Now he expands the search and all the high places were removed. Now later on it talks about high places again, but it says in verse 17 of chapter 15, it says, but the high places were not taken away out of Israel. Even expanded even further his influence even to the 10 tribes of Israel, the northern tribes. And so God was blessing in a tremendous way. God was using, it says, notice verse 7 of chapter 14, down through the verse it says, and he had given us rest on every side. Isn't that what we want as a pastor? Rest, peace. And so things are going well, and all of a sudden, verse 9, 1 million Ethiopians show up on the horizon. Is that a problem?
Ruin your day.
Yeah. Talk about ruining your day. And not only a million of them, but they also have chariots. Probably in the day, that was probably the modern warfare. A million chariots show up on the horizon. Well, that's not a million chariots, but a million Ethiopians show up on the horizon. And with chariots, he goes, this is not good. How do you handle that? Verse 11. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee.
Amen. Amen.
Incredible response. Whether with many or with them that have no power, help us, O Lord our God, for your grasp on me.
Wow.
What happened? God gave him victory. Tremendous. All right. Then God, in his grace and his mercy, he sends a spiritual man, chapter 15, sends Azariah, the son of Oded. Just as a reminder, because sometimes we have an incredible victory like that, and what might we be tempted to think? We're pretty awesome. We're pretty incredible. And Oded comes with this message. He said in verse 2, and he went to meet Asa and said unto him, hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while ye be with him. You stay with the Lord, he'll stay with you. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. That's sobering.
Mm-hmm.
What about America today? We forsake him, he will forsake you. Tell you what, one of the most somber judgments of God, she just leads us to our own way. And we head our own way. Boy, we can make a mess of things, can't we not? So verse 7, be strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak. For your work shall be rewarded. And he even goes further and removes more idolatry. Notice even his grandmother, he removes because of idolatry. Did that go to grandma? Grandma? And then again, step aside.
Mm-hmm.
Let's pick some guys. So, man, things are going tremendous. All of a sudden, now Baasha, king of Israel, comes against him. Now, God has already given him an incredible victory over 1 million Ethiopians and some chariots. But where did he turn this time? The first time he turned to the Lord. Maybe, I don't know, maybe it was because these were his sons, you know, they were Jews. And he thought they posed a different kind of a threat. And where did he turn? He turned to Ben-Hadad of Syria. Verse 2, we see that. And Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and the king's house, and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt in Damascus, saying. And he made a league with him, worked on his diplomacy, and it worked. Ben-Hadad came to his rescue, attacked some cities in Israel, destroyed them, and basically Baasha left. Left him alone. So it worked, in a sense. God sends another prophet, this time a seer who was a prophet of God. Moses was son. And at that time, Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of my hand. He said, God had things he was even going to give Ben-Hadad and the Syrians into your hands. Because you've done this, look to them for your help instead of looking. And the fact that we're trust there means confidence, because the first time you made God is confidence. Second time he made Ben-Hadad's confidence. Because you've done that, Syria has escaped out of your hand. And he gives some historical context here with the verse 8 of chapter 16. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host, with very many chariots and horsemen, yet because thou didst rely, made God your confidence on the Lord, he delivered them into thy hand. And here's where I was going. Here's the verse. And hopefully this will encourage us. When the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, God's not sleeping.
Amen.
God is not apathetic. He's not distracted. He's not drowsy.
Amen.
It says his eyes run to and fro. He's looking. He's looking. We are not unnoticed. He knows what we need. If you want to put it, verse in the margin, the same sentiment is expressed in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10. Last part of the verse says, "There they are the eyes of the Lord and run to and fro through the whole earth." God's looking. He's searching. He's alert. He's aware. Sometimes do we say, God, we hear David say this. Mm-hmm. God, are you aware? You know what I'm going through. And if we truly understand Scripture, is God aware of what you're going through? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Now notice the scope of that, the whole earth. Now that even includes out there at Star Lake.
Amen. Amen.
Are you right?
Yeah.
Where if it's not the end of the earth, you can see the end of the earth. You can see the end of the earth from there. And God's even there.
Amen. Amen.
You never want. And through the whole earth. Now notice why he's looking. It says here, to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Why is God looking? He says, I want to step in and I want to work here.
Yeah.
Now remember, this is the omnipotent God.
Yeah.
And he wants to step in and show himself strong on our behalf. We need to remind ourselves. It's not our giftedness. In fact, oftentimes giftedness can be a curse, because then we're tempted to trust in our giftedness. And all too often, what does the world do to someone who's very charismatic? They reinforce to him that giftedness. I attended a Raiders game many years ago at the Coliseum in Los Angeles. O.J. Simpson was there. And the game was over, and he was walking out. And there was an entourage shouting, O.J., O.J. And you could tell he was just enraptured with this throng that was following him out of the stadium. I really felt, we see people in our culture who think they can talk their way out of any problem, any circumstance, with this gift of charisma that they have. But the Lord is searching to and fro to show himself strong in behalf of them. Now here, that's what God's doing. What is our part in that? Whose heart is perfect and is totally dedicated to him. Lord, I want to serve you. I want to live for you. My reliance is upon you, not myself. God, I want to serve you and live for you. Dedicate myself to you. God, I need your help. I yield to you. I rely upon you. I believe those are the two requirements for walking in the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit. Yieldedness to God and reliance upon whose heart is perfect toward him. And God will step in and he will show himself strong with, towards them who rely upon him. Now, last part, here's the negative part. Hanani, as he talks to Asa, says, herein thou hast done foolish. To look to make an alliance with Ben-Hadad instead of depending upon the Lord. That's foolishness. That's foolishness. Herein thou hast done foolishly. And therefore, from henceforth, thou shalt have wars. That's not okay. That's not okay. But the thing I put in my notes here is let's not be foolish. Let's not be foolish. Let's not be discouraged. He is aware we're not alone. And sometimes it feels like, Lord, are you there? Look at, I can't take much more. But, he's there. Amen? He's there. And he knows what he's doing. There's a reason, even though we may not understand. He has his reasons, and that's what we need to trust in. Lord, I trust you. I don't understand, but Lord, I'm going to trust you in this difficult time that I'm going through. And I'm going to rely upon you. And I know you will see me through. Help me to learn what you want me to learn. Help me to glorify you as I go through this Lord. God, I want to give glory to you for who you are, and Lord, that you would see me through. So I just want to encourage us for a minute. As we look to the Lord, his eyes are searching to and fro throughout the entire earth. Why? Because he's looking for an opportunity to show himself strong. This is the omnipotent God of heaven. Show himself strong on behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. That's the part we need here. God, do I trust you fully?
Mm-hmm.
I remember that when I was learning how to repel with ropes. I remember that first time backing over that cliff, looking down there, and I mean, now I've got my brake hand over here, but my hand's up here, and I'm going, let go. And I'm going, I hear what you're saying. I hear you. But I mean, I'm hanging on to that rope. I'm going, this doesn't make sense to me. Let go of the rope. But no, it's not going to work unless you let go of the rope and trust. And we need to do that. Lord, yeah, I trust you, Lord, but you know, we need to trust him. And see, give him an opportunity to show himself strong in our behalf, giving our problems to the Lord, trusting him and relying upon him, praying, realizing we're not alone and he'll see us through those difficult times that we face. He knows what we're facing.
Yet
we're not alone. He does understand. Even better than we do. And in a difficult time like that, your theology becomes very important, doesn't it?
Uh-huh.
Those difficult times reveal your theology. Whether it's biblical, whether it's accurate, or whether it's flawed. You see people under pressure, you hear what comes out of their mouth. It comes from, and you go, no, you're not looking at that correctly. Your view of God has been incorrect. And so, I hope that will encourage us that the Lord is looking. He's not disinterested. He's not distracted. And he's not drowsy.
Amen.
In fact, I see a picture of someone who is searching to and fro, looking for a sheep, looking for an opportunity to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect. For him, let's make sure that we do not act foolishly. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the fellowship today and for these two folks. Lord, as we go to lunch together, Lord, may it be a wonderful time. Thank you for the food. Thank you for the fellowship. Thank you for the folks who've made the effort to be here, Lord, and some coming a good distance. Give them safety back home, Lord. I pray that our fellowship and ministry and encouragement, Lord, would be even better, Lord, within our state. And that we would encourage one another even more. Bless the food, bless the fellowship. Thank you for all you've done in Jesus' name. Amen.